Let's start with prayer. Father, we come to you. I come to you as your son, asking that the message that's about to be given as you see fit. Let everything that happens in this church be to lift up and shine the light on Jesus, your son. Take away from us our selfish things and give us the feeling of a servant, for a servant in your eyes is of great value. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, God's will or I will be done. The reason why this sermon, the Holy Spirit gave to me, because, you know, this is me. I am the first person to be guilty of coming up with plan A. Always. And then when plan A doesn't work, then plan B is on my knees praying to God, and let's get this right this time. You know, there can't be more of a fitting topic for today. There's nothing that anybody can see that wouldn't let us know that prayer has got to be in the first and foremost of our minds, because there's a lot going on in this world. A lot going on in this world. And it's interesting that we brought it up in Sabbath school today, that there are times now, and there's going to be even more so times later, where the truth is going to be bent just a little bit. It's almost 100% truth. And we can be succumbed to that. We said, but not for the very elect, could be confused. So prayer is our resource to keep us on that right path. You know, what constitutes prayer? What makes up prayer? Who do you pray to? Why do you pray? And what should be the outcome of the prayer? It's my want that was what God's message was for us today. Already in this worship service, and see, it's 11:43. We started at 5 minutes till. There have been 6 times that we've prayed. And we've hadn't been at it in an hour. In this church, prayer is important to us and needs to be important to us, because it's all about His will, not ours. And that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about bringing us up to Him. What do you want of me, Father? I'm a vessel. Maybe a little bit broken, but you can use me. You know, our church family here often lifts up individuals. You've already heard it. We also, you know, we had our greeters. I was fortunate enough, four weeks ago, my family was lifted up in that weekly prayer. And I promise you, it made a difference in my life. There was a number of y'all that even took the time to, our first elder, you know, you got to like that man. For all of his bad habits, you have got to like that man. Because his good, he may have 8 or 9 bad habits, but that one good habit, oh, it's grace. It is something. He texts me every morning and let me know he was thinking of me. There was a number of y'all that texted me and let me know that you had me in prayer. I went through my week better prepared. I knew Satan didn't have a hold of me, because I had the support of you behind me. And I saw things happen. I saw things happen I saw some things happening because of y'all's prayer that took place 2 days ago. It took 4 days ago. I saw it, the ripples are still going across my little pond of what y'all's prayers brought. You know, whenever I prepare a message, you know, I always and certainly pray to God about giving me that message. And, you know, sometimes, I promise you, there's not a person that's ever stood up here that gave exactly the sermon that they had prepared, because the Holy Spirit works in you. And very seldom have I started out with a concept or idea, that's what it ended up being. It would always transition something. You need to start this, and yeah, I had an idea, and it metamorphosed into something else, and then it moved into something else until where it was right now. I use, for reference, I always go back to our Sabbath school lessons. If you want, there's a trick to this. If you want to give a good sermon that's accurate, correct, go back to your Sabbath school lessons. You got a whole quarter on Holy Spirit, a whole quarter on this, a whole quarter on God's love, a whole quarter on God's grace and forgiveness. What a resource. I've got quarterlies all the way back from 2001. Now, I could have more, but I started kind of collecting them. I started going through my resources, and I came up with an interesting situation. I found three quarterlies that talked about prayer, and in those three quarterlies, there was only like 1 week's worth in each one. And it really wasn't that encompassing. And so I told myself, I said, I must be missing some quarterlies because for a faith like this, that prayer is such ingrained in who we are. For me not to have a quarterly on that, I must have misplaced it. One of the things that I asked when I asked to speak is I asked that the Lord take away, my pride and my weaknesses and give me a servant's heart and not to be greedy, just a little bit of the wisdom of Solomon. Take away pride. Take away my weaknesses. Give me a servant's heart. Give me just a taste of Solomon so that the message will be clear and concise. It's important to understand the importance of prayer and what its ramifications are in our lives. We must understand that prayer is essential to our spiritual growth, as well as our growing relationship with our Maker and Savior. That's your communication. As the title of the message is, God's will be done or our will, comes from the misunderstanding of how prayer really works. Prayer has a lot of different facets to it, and it's my hope, selfishly, I want us to have a better understanding about prayer, because it tears me up inside when I see people just heartfelt that they've prayed so hard and they didn't get that answer that they wanted. What did I just say? They didn't get the answer they wanted. God always answers. Always answers. But because we didn't get the answer we expected or wanted, then we thought we didn't get heard. And that's, if anything, if we can get that across today. We don't call upon God and demand that he takes actions as we see fit. We can be guilty of listing those things that we see that God needs to act on ASAP. Here's the list of things, God, that you need to start working on today that's going to make me happy. I'm going to tell you a story of a young man. This is a perfect example about prayer. This young man wanted to go to seminary. God wants anybody to go to become a pastor, right? Who wouldn't be behind that? So this young man had a plan. He had some skill sets. He had a business mind, so he had to have something that would he could start out with minimum amount of investment, but he was going to build it up, and he was going to sell this business so that he could use that money to go to college to start becoming a pastor. So, car detailing. He put a business plan together. He rented the perfect building. He hired the great employees. He made sure all of his systems were in place. He bought the best chemicals. He made sure he complied with all the state and federal mandates with handling soaps and detergents and such like that. And he had a great work ethic, and he hired great people. And he built this business up to where a lot of people wanted his business. He was a successful businessman. Somebody wanted to buy his business. Perfect timing. He sells this business, and next 6 weeks, he can have his money for tuition. Off he goes. Gonna be a pastor. Lord, take me anywhere you want to go. That was his, I mean, he was ready to go anywhere. The deal is all, I mean, The money was determined. How much they're going to pay for this business. He was happy. They were happy. It was going to be a win-win. And the deal fell through. The young man is very frustrated. He can't believe this. How can God do that to him? He prayed about this. This was going to be his way to go to school. How could God not even be involved with this? And why did he turn him down? The deal falls through. He continues to build up his business. A year later, he sells this business for good money. He uses this money. He's still disappointed that he's a whole year behind. This man ends up going to seminary school and ends up making a relationship with some of the most influential people that's doing God's work. I'm not going to tell you who this man was, but because he was a year behind, God had answered his prayer. This man became one of the most influential people in this world because God did answer his prayer at the right time. That's what we need to know. Not our time, God's time. You know, it's normal to be disappointed when God's timing and designs for our lives don't match. We all know the story of King David. God loved David. God told David no. David wanted to build the temple. It's interesting. I've been back and forth quite a bit with some past pastors in my previous life in different states, and we discussed this back and forth. You know, David wanted to build the temple, but God told him no because, David, you had killed too many people in battle. You know who sent David to battle? God told David to go, let's clear out them Canaanites. Let's get them out of there. David was real good at what God told him to. Couldn't find one of those running around after a while. But God said, no, David, you can't build this temple. You've killed too many people. David could have shaken his fist at the sky. I did what you told me to. How could you tell me now that I can't be part of this temple? That's what I want to do. But no, David's heart was right. David was in prayer with his God. David said, who am I, Lord God, that you have brought me this far? David went on to praise God and affirm his devotion. David valued his relationship with God more than his ambition. David was able to understand that that wasn't his role. What David did do, he was able to start getting the building materials together. He got those together, but it was for somebody else. God has a plan for all of you and I. And what he has planned for me may not be your plan. God's plan was for Solomon to build that temple, not David. David in prayer asked, "Let it be me," and God said, "No." You know, I got a few images today that I wish to share that create emotions in me and move me when I look at these. You know, each picture has its own story, and I trust that when you see these pictures, you'll be moved as well. You know, we're blessed to have the perfect example made by our Savior and Lord as he walked this earth. Christ's life was a life of prayer. Jesus made prayer a priority. Let's turn to your Bibles. Let's look at Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. Mark records that in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Luke 6:12, Luke testifies that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued to pray all night in prayer to God. You know who was busy? Jesus was busy. For 3.5 years, he had the greatest responsibility and the most role that anybody has ever had. And in that period of time, he was praying all the time. We have to let that man's life be our example. If we follow the life and teachings of Jesus, we too will devote ourselves in prayer and will learn from example. Prayer is the heart and soul of Christian life. We would be spiritually dead without it. You can't be a Christian and not pray. You can't be. How can you? How can you love someone and not be with them? How can you love God and not want to spend time with him? What makes you think if you're a Christian that you can wake up in the morning and tackle life yourself? No one's yet been able to do it yet. When we pray, let us address our prayers to our Heavenly Father. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Let us pray according to his will. Let us join our Lord in the sacred work of intercession. In his personal communion with heaven, Jesus addressed God as Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father. Even the brief prayer of Jesus recorded in Luke 10:21. His address was to Father, Lord of heaven. During his agony in Gethsemane, Jesus addressed the Heavenly Father using the Aramaic term Abba, my Father, an endearing name. Prayer itself has different designs by us, determined by our different circumstances. My prayer today is going to be different than your prayer today because you have different needs than I. My prayer will be different than my son Luis's prayer because we're at different paths at this time. But nevertheless, the young men that pray in this church, pure prayers, aren't they? Oh, pure prayers. Unselfish prayers. It's not about them. I don't think I've ever heard during children's story one child ever ask for something for them. It's always for us. Always for us. There's your pure prayer for somebody else. Are we asking God what he wishes and desires for us and asking what is to be made clear? Or are we asking God to lift up those that we care about? Those are in positions of responsibility. Those are our church leaders, our community leaders, our world leaders. Are we praying for them that God will lift them up and help those people around them? Or are we just worrying about what we need? Who's gone to prayer with God being angry. I asked for you to help me with this. You knew I needed my mortgage money and I didn't get it. Why didn't you answer my prayer? That's real time. I get it. I understand. My truck broke down, God. Why did that happen? I asked you to please let this truck last me just one more year. I've been taking it easy. It's not like I've been driving around like some fool. I've done my share. Start out slow and I stop slow. I've been doing what I can do to make it nurse this along, and it broke down. Now what I'm going to do? Why? Why? Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are made possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nonetheless, not what I will, but what you will. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus came to do his Father's will. Jesus, it was a perfect example for us. So let's look at what his prayers, how did he construct his prayers? Let's look back at this. Where am I at? See right here. Well, I guess I missed one. Looking back at Mark 14:36, there's four components to his prayer. First, he says the word Abba. He's expressing his close relationship to his Father. When you pray, when I pray, am I praying to my Father or am I praying to some great power up there? Somebody up there that just is kind of like in charge of everything, but we don't have this relationship. I'm just one of the little minions. Do I have a personal relationship with God? Does he know who I am? Do I pray accordingly? Do I call him Abba, my Father? He acknowledges the Lord's power. He does express his own desires. There's nothing wrong with asking for the things that you think you need. But let me finish it with point four. He surrenders his own personal will and desires to the Father. Ask the Father, Father, I would love to have a new house. I've got 5 children. We've got 2 bedrooms in this house. You know it's getting a little tight. Please, I need another house. I need one more bedroom. But if it be your will. Don't go out there and buy that 3-bedroom house and get yourself upside down where you can't afford it. And then you're going to have to pray some more for some money. Because that's what's going to happen. That's my plan A. Don't go buy the big house and then ask God to show me a way to pay for it. Show me a way to pay for it and then go get the house. That'll work, right? What sort of prayer should we find a Christian taking to God on a constant basis? You know, let's turn the Bible, John 17:9. John 17:9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. The bulk of Jesus' prayers were for his disciples because he knew he was going to have to leave them and they were going to be here to carry on. He prayed for his responsibilities, his disciples. It's impossible to live under the lordship of Christ and pray only for yourself. When Jesus Christ, the Lord of your prayers, you'll pray for other people before you pray for yourself. You know, we are so often asked to pray for people. Our prayer warriors here, during Wednesday night Bible study, in fact, during Wednesday night Bible study, you know, we open with prayer and we do you need to lift up anybody? And that list gets long. There are so many of us that need prayers. You can get kind of overwhelmed by it. I mean, I have to admit, selfishly, for Adventists who are, we have such a health message, why are we so sick? I never got it. Now, once I get sick, then I'll get it. I'm just exceptionally blessed right now. But But we can get overwhelmed by all these prayers. So many people need so much. You know, I can't help but see this old wise woman. See this picture? What do y'all think about that? What does that tell you? In your mind, what are you thinking when you see that? You know, I can't help but see this wise old woman who's given her life to God and His will. She's prayed so many times for those that she loves and those that loved her. No longer burdened by the pulls of the world, she's gotten over it. She's mature. She knows those things aren't important. How many times, if her hand isn't filled with a Bible, it's clasped in prayer? Those should be our hands up there. Praying for others. If you don't have the Bible in your hand, hands clasped in prayer. You know, frequently prayer assumes a self-centered kind of posture. You know, the wish list. I've got wish lists. They're all honorable desires. But they're worldly stuff. Man, when it's all said and done, you know what? Too often in this world, you hear people say, as you get older, things get taken away from you. Thank you. I wouldn't want to be 30 years old anymore. Certainly wouldn't want to be 18. Wouldn't want to, no. There's some things I don't have anymore. And that's okay. I'm getting comfortable with it. I don't need those things. Little by little, hopefully, if I can just be a shadow of this. I don't need worldly things. In Steps to Christ, Ellen White stated, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as a friend. Not that it's necessary to make known to God what we are, but it enables us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but lifts up us to Him. Know that. When you're in prayer, you're in heaven. And I just love this. I mean, when you see people like this, come get me. Come take me up. Lift me up to you. Here's what I know about prayer to be in my life and how I've grown spiritually. I understand now the power of prayer a bit more as I've gotten older, just as many of you have, because as we make mistakes and we learn from them, as hopefully every time God's been there for us, how many thousands and thousands of times He's been for us, all we got to do is keep remembering that He was there, and then that confidence is there. It is that through prayer, we think His thoughts and live accordingly. That's what prayer should be. Please, if you want your prayers answered, ask God what He wants for you and say, you got it. I'll do it. Father, tell me what you want to do. In my case, please be very clear. Don't whisper. Tell me what you want me to do, make it clear, and I'm yours. You want to see a prayer answered? Do it like that. But you better be prepared. You better be prepared. You may not be living in the same house you were living in earlier. Your friends may change. Your job may change. Woo! Hang on. Gird yourself. Because if you tell God that you're now ready to be a vessel, you better be ready to travel. And I don't mean to another town. You may travel spiritually. You're going to start getting some things done. Your priorities are going to change. Have we not had a moment in life where we knew just that a prayer was going to be answered and it didn't happen? You know, in Sabbath school, we've talked about that before. And I shared with a couple of people. There was a time not too long ago that I was in a hospital room and we had anointed oil on a young man. And if ever there was going to be a miracle, I mean, right in front of me, this should have been it, I thought. This would have been a win-win in my mind. If this man could get out of this hospital bed, he would have, I thought, had an incredible impact to that community. And it didn't happen. This happened about 2 years ago. And little by little, and it doesn't bother me now, but I kind of don't understand why it didn't happen. Because, man, I read this book. Man, there was a lot of miracles taking place. There's some good things happening. And I thought that would have been a perfect time. My trust is that was not God's will. And I'm going to accept that. And I'm going to be okay with that. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians. That was our Bible verse. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it may depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Boy, that's a lot. That was a lot. Here's Paul asking God for a little help. Y'all know Paul got a lot of whoopings, right? Anybody, if you've ever read the book of Acts, about every third chapter, Paul's getting a beating. Not found guilty of anything in particular, but because they didn't know what else to do with the man, give him a beating, send him on his way. Here's a man that got stoned and left for dead. Sometimes later, he's back evangelizing again. Here's Paul's asking for a little help when he's being asked to endure. 3 times he asked God to intervene, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here God lets Paul know that he had given Paul all he needs to endure what has come upon him. The thorn in the flesh to Paul is in God's will for the betterment of all. So rejoice. Paul had matured enough to know my prayer is being answered in the fact that things aren't going the way I want them to because there's a much greater plan. And these things, that by God saying, I've given you enough to handle what you need to handle, Paul was able to go all the way up to even his foreseeable death. Paul knew he was going to be killed, and he walked in, big stepping too. He didn't small step. No, take me to Caesar, knowing what was going to happen to him. So when bad things happen to us, I want to rephrase that. When things happen to us that we prefer not happen to us, that could be a blessing because it's preparing you for the end time. Who doesn't think that the end time's coming? And you're going to be challenged to stand up for who you are. And if you can't stand a little bit of heat, what's going to happen when the flames come on? What's going to happen when your neighbor will chastise you just because you were here today? Our prayers are answered when we're given the opportunity to grow in faith and allow God to use us in a way that uplifts us for His desire for us. In Paul's case, the appearance of unanswered prayer better prepares him. Those who have a humble, trusting, contrite heart, God accepts and hears their prayers. And when God helps, all obstacles are overcome. You know, how many people of great ability have failed miserably when they've been given responsibilities? Men with great education, great learning, women with, they start out with this world with everything right. And when given responsibilities, they fail miserably. But who is it? It's the weak that end up doing the best job. Because why? In prayer, on their knees, they give it up to God. It's not them making the decision. They're allowing God to make those decisions for them. Those are your successful people. The secret was one trusted themselves, while the latter united himself with God and His will. God hears our prayer. Christ has said, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Again, He says, "If any man serves me, him will my Father honor." If any man serves me, my Father will honor. That doesn't mean you should come to Him with some checklist of all the things that, you know, my bass boat motors down. My wife doesn't treat me like the way I want to be treated. You need to change your attitude. That'll fix that. My neighbors are mean. Go over and mow the neighbor's yard when they're not home. They won't be mean anymore. Now pick up the leaves and all that kind of stuff too. But do right. If we live according to His word, every precious promise will be fulfilled. We are undeserving of His mercy, but as we ask and give ourselves to Him, He will work through us. Prayer is opening of the heart to God as a friend. Not that it's necessary to make known to God who we are, but in order for us to receive Him. Again, Ellen White said, prayer does not bring God down to us, but lifts us up to Him. When Jesus was upon the earth, He taught His disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast their cares upon Him. And the assurances He gave that in their petitions they would be heard. This last picture, this is my favorite picture, because this is how I think. This is where I am today. I'd like to be the older woman with her hands in her lap, but this is me today, right or wrong. This last picture, I see the world like this. I see a world where there's a battle taking place daily. I know the outcome. I know. I got a 66th chapter of my book right here. I know exactly how it's going to turn out. But the battle's on today. Here I say, arm yourself in prayer and put on the armor of God in your prayer. In Ephesians 6, 11, 12. Ephesians 6, 11, 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, in closing, if there was ever a time that we should pray in real earnest, I tell you, it's now. It'd be good if we all saw each other with a little, maybe all of our pants just have a, maybe just a little more wear right here. Just a little more wear. Not enough that you have to go buy another pair. That costs money. But just a little wear. Now's the time, I promise you, because the battle is on. We talked about this at Sabbath School Day, and when y'all brought that up, I just couldn't believe it, because we talked specifically about this with Dio. There may be supposable things that appear as good things, and yet they need to be carefully considered with much prayer. For they are misleading devices of the enemy to lead souls on a path which lies close to the path of truth, and will be scarcely distinguishable from the path that leads to holiness in heaven. Satan deceives those who do not or will not pray. I'll leave you with this only because I've learned this lesson over and over. I'm a slow learner too. Don't set your plans in place. Don't be like that young man who put all the systems in place. Don't come up with your own idea of where you should be doing, what you should be doing, how you should be doing it. And then, now that you got it all set in place, God, I married this woman, I've got this job, I'm living in this place, now bless me and make all this work. That is not the plan. Wear a little bit of this out, then ask what his plan is for you. Should we continue to pray for more, but instead pray that God would teach us to do with less? I'm going to find out with this. If there's any doubt in your mind that God's not answering your prayers, why don't you take a step back? Stop looking at yourself. Get to know somebody else closely. Learn what it is that they're going through. And you'll find out that you're being blessed and your prayers are being answered daily. Because I promise you, there's some people in this room right now going through some tough times. So if you think God's not answering your prayers, you're not paying attention to your neighbor and your brother and your sister. You'll find out that you, with that kind of attitude, you'll be more like that old woman with her hands in her lap, grateful, praying for others. Everybody knows. Thank you.
Turn in our hymnal to hymn 322. And I'd like everybody to find that and go ahead and stand. Nothing between. I have reached
thank you so much. Thank you for this wonderful Sabbath morning. Thank you for thank you for me personally. I praise you, and I thank you so much for helping me. I pray that, Father, that we've got a good idea. We've got a better understanding of how you're going to work with us if only we just bend a knee. Let us always, Father, start with plan A. Plan A, let's find out what your will is. And Father, then give us the courage and the strength to go out and do it. Father, thank you so much for letting us understand that sometimes we're going to be like David. You're going to tell us no. But we have other great rejoices that you've given us, and we're going to be appreciated for that. Let us be mindful of others. Let us be less looking inside. Let's, Father, give us the kind of kind heart that we will go out and look at others and make relationships and connections with others. Let us see how you are working in our lives and the lives of others. We ask all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all so very much. Have a great Sabbath.